Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Samach Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top of Daf Samach Gimel. You'll notice a Mishnah. Nozir shegileach v'noda lo shehu tameh. A Nozir completed his Nazirus observance, and on the 31st day, meaning he observed 30 days of Nazirus, and then haircut day came, we'll say day 31, and he took the haircut and discovered that he was Tomei. The Rashi at the top, Nozer Shigilech, Tiglachas Taro, B'yoim Shloishim Ve'echot Shelo, the Tiglachas at the completion of Nazirus observed without defilement, and that is on the 31st day. Rashi continues, V'achar shikileach noda lo shutome betumas meis. And then it became known to him that he had encountered defilement to the dead. Bein shinitmo besoich melois, bein shinitmo li'achar melois, bo bayom. Whether the tuma was within the actual Nazirus days, or the tuma was after the Nazirus days that day, namely day 31, Kodem Shehevi Korbanoisov Vishigileach, before the haircut, before bringing of sacrifices. So now, we have a case of a Nozir that reached day 31 and discovered that he was Tomei. The Mishnah continues, Im Tuma Yedua Soser. Vim Tumas Tahoim Eino Soser. Tuma Yedua means Tuma that was known to others. Rashi, Im Tuma Yedua Hoiso Bisha Shinitmo, if it was Tuma that was known to others at the time he became Tomei. Harezes Soser Es Hakol. He loses credit for everything. In other words, all the Nazirus that he observed, he has to start all over again. Rashi goes on, Avol Im Lo Nitmo Ad La'achar Havoas Korbanoisov, if his encounter with Tuma was after he brought the sacrifices, Afilu Betuma Yedua Eino Soser Elo Zayin. Now, this is a case where he brought the sacrifices but did not yet take the haircut. So he loses then 7 days. Kidistan Perik Shoshamina, Mishin Israq Olavechod Min Adomim, one, a Nozir that had one of the sacrifices processed and the blood was sprinkled, Vil Kimna Bigmor de Ledivri Akol Zayin Soser Vesulo. So, we continue in our Mishnah. So far, our Mishnah is describing a Nozir that reached day 31 and discovered Tuma. If it's the Tuma that is Yedua, then it will cause him to start again. If it's Tumas Tahom, we'll see what that means, the Tuma of the depths in a literal sense. He doesn't lose. Im ad shelo gileach, if prior to the haircut the tuma became known to him, beinkach ubeinkach soser, whether it's tuma yedua, known tuma, or tuma of the depths, tuma that's hidden from the public, he will lose out. In other words, he'll have to start his Nazirus again. Ketzad. an illustration of what we've been saying. Yorad litbol b'ma'ora, v'nimso meis tzof al pi ha'ma'ora, tome. The Nazir went to immerse himself in a cave, and there was discovered later a piece of corpse flesh floating on the water. He is deemed to be tome. Nimsa meshuka bekaka mora, if the piece of corpse flesh was found buried under the floor of the cave, then it depends. Yorad lohoker tohar, if the nazir went into the cave to immerse in water to cool off, so he remains tohar. That's what we mean by tuma satahom. The unknown tuma doesn't affect him. Litoyer mitumas meis, if the purpose of the nazir was entering the cave to immerse because he had been tomei, and he was immersing for purification purposes, then even though you're dealing with hidden tuma, he will be considered defiled. Shecheskas tomei tomei, one who had the status of being defiled, remains thusly. Vecheskas tohor tohor, someone who had the status of being pure, he went into the cave to immerse for comfort purposes, for cooling off. So he maintains his status of Tara. Sheraglayim Lodovar. Rashi explains on the second line under the Gemara text, Sheraglayim Lodovar Klomar, Shadvorim Nirim Kach. This is the way things appear. The Tor Hameid Alcheskoso. Someone who had been Tor prior to that remains with his Tor status. The Tomei Alcheskoso. And one who had been Tomei remains thusly. V'teve cheskas tor, tor v'cheskas tomei, tomei. Mino hani mili. From where do we know that tuma yidua, known tuma, undoes nazirus, undoes the days that were observed? This sounds like a fairly basic question, but we're asking this question in the context of tuma yidua versus tuma satahom, the case of the hidden tuma that is not so ser. On the side, we have a nosei mivne heading, nosei being the topic heading, mivne structural note. We have diamonds. They highlight, you'll see in the Gemara, the names Reb Elozer and Reish Lakish. These are Makoros, sources. Derak tumo yidua soseres, velo tuma satahom. That only known tuma is capable of undoing observed days of Nazirus that were observed, but not tuma discovered in the depths, a hidden tuma. The Gemara. Omar Reb Elozer, Deomar Kro. The Pasuk says, V'chiyomus meis olov bepesa pisoim. Note that this pasuk is from the topic of Nazirus itself, and it describes a death taking place, and we say the word olav in this pasuk means b'mechuveres lo. Mechuveres means something clear to him. So if the Nazir encountered a type of tumah that is clear to him, that would cause him to lose the observed days of Nazirus. Not tumah that is hidden. Reish Lakish Omar. Omar Kro. Here we cite a posuk from the topic of Pesach Sheni. Someone who was obligated or should have done the Korban Pesach on the 15th of Nisan, but he was Tomei or was Bederach Rechoika. The Torah gives him another opportunity, a makeup opportunity, on the 14th of Iyar. So the pasuk in that context says, "Ki etomei l'nefesh o b'derech rechoika." We should point out that the laws of nazir are learned together with the laws of Korban Pesach. So that even though we're citing a pasuk from the topic of Korban Pesach, it applies equally to Nazirus. We learn from this Ki Derech. The pasuk mentioned a person who was Tomei Lenefesh, that means he was experienced Tumas Meis, or he was far away from Yerushalayim. But there's a comparison. Ki derech, like a road. Ma derech begolui, just like a road is exposed. Af kol begolui, so too all that is exposed. In other words, the encounter with the tumas meis, with the death, so with the corpse flesh, would have to be in an open, exposed fashion. As opposed to home, something in the depth, something hidden. Well, we have a psukim, so we ask the following. We have a Tanaic source, Ezu Tumas HaTahom. What is categorized as Tumas HaTahom, Tuma of the Deaths? Kol She'eno Makiro Echod B'Sof Ha'olam. A situation of Tuma where no one in any part of the world is aware of it. Avo Makiro Echod B'Sof Ha'olam. If someone somewhere in the world is aware of the tuma, ein zu tumas hatahom. We cannot consider this as tumas hatahom. Someone out there is aware of it. Bishlamo lemandomar ki derech shapir. The idea of exposed tuma versus tumas hatahom is defined by the road example. So then this is fine. In other words, according to Reish Lakish, this is fine. What do we mean by that? Well, if someone out there in the wide world is aware of the tuma, it's considered exposed. It's like a road. It's exposed. It's exposed to somebody. Elo lamad yomar b'mechuveres lo. But according to Rebbe Lozer, that said that Tumas Meis plays a role, is soser, can void, if it's clear to him, to the Nozer himself, Ki makiro echod b'soifo oilo mayhave. So what, someone out there at the far reaches of the world knows about the Tuma? It's not known to him. So this source would represent a challenge, a problem for the source, the posuk and the drosha that Rebbe Lozer cited. Fasu, and furthermore, Rashi points out that this question is a question regardless of who you want to choose, whether you choose the mechuveres lo pshat or the comparison to the derech, namely whether you choose Rebbe Lozer or Reish Lakish. The following is raised: Ha desanya hamoitze meis mushkav l'rachba shel derech. It's discovered that there is a corpse lying underneath a pathway. In other words, the length of the body is perpendicular to the road, so that the width of the road is on top of a body. So that if someone was walking there, so underneath the path, there would have been a body. Now, Tosfos points out this is a case of Tumas HaTahom. It's not known at the time that the person walked by. He didn't know about it. Betrumo Tomei. If you're dealing with a Kohen that wants to eat Truma, we will tell him, no, you cannot eat the Truma, you have become defiled. Benozir vasiyas Pesach Tor. But if you're dealing with a Nozir, or someone who is on his way to do a Korban Pesach, we will say, you are Tor. Well, my Shna, what difference does it make? Once you tell me that the concept of Tumas Tahom is one of non-defilement based on psukim, meaning it's a d'oraisa concept, why should there be any distinction between truma versus nozir and osa pesach? Ela, a second approach altogether. Ela tumas Hatahom Gemora Gemiri Law. The concept of Tumas Hatahom as being Tohor with regard to Nozir and Oisa Pesach, only this is an oral tradition. So that the concept of Tumas Hatahom being considered Tohor, as we just said, it applies only to the Nozir and Oisa Pesach. And it therefore comes as no surprise that for someone who wants to eat truma, and truma consumption must be done in a state of purity, he will not be able to do so because of this body that he walked over, buried under the road, even though it was not known to anybody at the time. Im ad shelo gilach, our Mishnah said that if prior to the haircut, even though the Nozir brought his korban, if the discovery of the Tumah was before the haircut, so even if it was an encounter with Tumas Tahom, the Nozir loses out. So sir. So now the Gemara. Man Tana. Who is the Tana that would hold that opinion? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar hi, Domar Tiglachas Me'akeves. This is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar that says that the haircut is a binding or restrictive factor in the Nazir being released from his Nazirus restrictions. So in a manner of speaking, until the haircut, he's still in the midst of his Nazirus. And therefore, discovery of Tumah, even if it's Tumas Hatahom, at that point causes Soser, Stira, loss. And of course, the Nazir will have to make up. Boy Romi Bar Chamo. Before we continue in the Gemara, we want to give a brief headline to this Gemara. On the side, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written Tuma Besoich Melois. The actual encounter with the Tuma was within the Nozir days. V'idiyosa Achar Melois, and the discovery afterwards. Ma Dinoi Legabi Stira. What is the law with regard to loss? So that you have, on the one hand, the encounter during or in the midst of the Nazirus, and the discovery of that encounter after he completed observing the Nazirus. Boy Rami Bar Chama, we're in the Gemara, Rami Bar Chama asks this issue, this question, Nitmo Besoich Melois. He had the encounter with the Tumas Tahom within the days of his Nazirus observance, the Noda Loli Achar Melois, and it was revealed to him that there had been a piece of corpse under the floor or under the road, as we described earlier, and it became known to him after Melos, meaning after he finished observing the Nazirus days. However, before he brought the sacrifices and before he took the haircut. Mahu. What is he to do? What is the din? Boser yadio azlinon viyadio achar molosi. Do we emphasize the time of discovery? And the discovery was after the molos. It was after he completed observing all of the Nazirus days. And the result would be that he would lose only 7 days, as Tosfos presents this matter. Or maybe we don't emphasize the time of discovery, but rather the time of the actual encounter. And the encounter with the Tumas Hatahoim was within the Nazirus days. Ulamai, and with regard to what are we asking this question? Lemistar, regarding the issue of loss and need to make up days. Mistar is the avoidance or the cancellation of days that he observed, and then the need to make them up. We look at the Tosfos the second line from the bottom, boy, Romi bar Chama, nitma toich malois. Now, Tosfos adds a point that we didn't mention, because our initial presentation was based on Rashi, but here Tosfos says, he was nitma toich malois betuma yedua, oi betuma satahom, either with actual tuma, known tuma, or tuma satahom. Rashi, regarding this, you'll note, he says, "Boy, Romi bar Chama nitma betumas hatom." He does not mention tuma yedua, and the issue then is that the in contact with the tuma was during the counting days, during the actual days of Nazirus observance. The Tosfos goes on, "The noda lo liachar malos kodem givuach l'Rebbe Lazar." Mahu, and the discovery of his encounter with the Tuma was after he completed the 30 days of Nazirus, before he took his haircut, according to Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer said, if you remember, that the haircut was a binding factor. Mahu, Basur Tuma as Linon Vesesir Shloshim. Do we emphasize the time of the Tuma, and that was in the midst of the Nazirus, and therefore he would lose 30 days? In other words, he would lose all of the Nazirus. He'd have to count from the beginning. O Basar Yedio Azlinon, or do we emphasize the time of discovery, and then the Soser Shiva, he would lose only 7 days. The Gemara continues on Omid Beis. Omar Rava Toshma. Now notice we have a long answer marking. Now this long answer marking is based on the Tosfos in Dibur Masel Va'adayin. Let's read the Tosfos together to justify our marking. Va'adayin Tiboy Aloch. This Dibur Masel is from the fourth line from the top of the Gemara. Hashas Holech Umeforish Hach Pshitusa De Rava Derech Kashya V'Tirutz Ve'af Bayo De Romi Bar Chama Holech Umeforish Hata'am Ba'orech. So the Gemara will be explaining Rava, and also dealing with Rami Bar Chama's question in a, we'll say, lengthy fashion. So, let's continue with the Gemara. Omar Rava Toshma, a quote from our Mishnah. Imad Shelo Gilach, if the Nazir became aware of the Tuma before his haircut, Benkach Ubenkach Soser. Whether it's Tuma Yedua, or whether it was an encounter with exposed tuma, or with hidden tuma, Soser, he loses out. Hechi domi. Well, what are the circumstances of this Mishnah? E de isyada le besoch malos, if he became aware in the middle of his counting days. The Mishnah itself said he became aware before the haircut. Well, when before the haircut? If in the middle of his Nazirus days, Tzricha LaMeimar, do you need to be told that Soser, that he loses out? Of course he loses out. It's a case of a Nazir having encountered Tum in the midst of his Nazirus. El Olav Li'achar Molois. So rather, it's a case of encounter with Tuma, it's an account that he becoming familiar with the problem, discovery of Tuma encounter when? After Malois. And it says in the Mishnah, Soser, so Shma Mina. So this shows us that the emphasis is placed on not the time of discovery per se, but the time of the actual encounter with the Tuma. So you have a case of there was encounter with Tuma during the Nazirus period and discovery of it afterwards, and yet it says Soser. Va'adayin tiboy aloch, but there remains still unrevealed or unsolved information. Kulo Soser or Shiva Soser, how much does he lose out? Does he lose out all of the Nazirus, or does he lose out only 7 days? Well, Leman. Now, this question is raised according to whom? Ilema l'Rabbanan, pshita de Kulo Soser. If this question is raised according to the Rabbanan, it's obvious that he'll lose out everything, because we're talking about his discovery before he brought the sacrifices. We mentioned the quote from the Mishnah said before he took the haircut, but we're going to assume not only before he took the haircut, but before he brought the sacrifices. So then it would be obvious, as far as the Rabbanon are concerned, he loses everything. V'i l'Rebbe Elazar, but if it's a question of, if we're asking our question according to the Tana Rebbe Elazar, then kol achar malos shiva soser. Any, let's say, discovery of tuma after the malos would result only in a loss of 7 days. So why are you asking the question? Omar Loch, so the Gemara answers, Hani Mili, Rami Bar Chama will tell you, Rabbi Bar Chama is the one who asked the question initially, so he'll tell you, this idea of losing seven, that's Ki Nitvo Achar Malos, Vai Lifnei Malosu. That's a case where a person encountered the Tumah after Malos, but here he encountered the Tumah before the Malos. O Dilma, Shaini Hocha, or maybe this is different. The idea achar malosi, that the discovery of the encounter was after the malos. So that is, so our question still is a valid question to ask. Umina, and we can now answer it from the Mishnah itself. Katani, benkach ubenkach soser velo komifligi. We take a look at Rashi in the narrow lines, a little more than halfway down the narrow lines. Hochi garsinu mino hadikotoni benkach ubenkach soser velo komiflig shma mino klomar v'tifsholem imasnisin gufei. Let us conclude the question from the Mishnah itself. The midiktoni benkach ubenkach soser. The Mishnah makes no distinction whether the encounter with the Tumah was before the Malos, before the completion of the Nazirus observance, or afterwards. The Mishnah indicates whenever he became Tomei. Fu kimnolo kerebelozer, and we set up the Mishnah like Rebelozer, diomar kol achar malos, zayin soser visulo. We said that our Mishnah was in accordance with Rebelozer. And Rebelozer speaks about loss of days, loss of 7 days, no more. Shma mino, from here we conclude, nami dafilu hecho denitmo besoch malos, even where the encounter with the Tumah was within the Nazirus observed days, kevon diyadil achar malosu, since the discovery of the Tumah was after the Malos, the Zion soser v'sulo, he loses only 7 days and not any more. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at the side. We have a topic heading, where we've written Matzavim Shonim, different situations, Shel Metzias Meis Baderech, regarding the discovery of a corpse on or under a road. Umasai Nechshav Tumas Tomen, under what circumstances will we say that this represents Tumas Hatahom? As we go through the source, we will notice some markings. The markings are indicated under our Mivneh heading, where you see Bamed Vumamurim, abbreviated. That expression will be highlighted with a triangle as we go along. Bamed Vumamurim is an expression of qualification, and we'll be qualifying in one of two directions. Either we will be saying, well, under what circumstances do we declare Tumah? And then the Gemara will contrast it with the word Avol. As you'll see, we squiggle under an Avol, but under different circumstances, then we will say the opposite. So we're going to try to keep track as we go through this source, directions in the direction of Tumah, or are we going in the direction of Tahara? And at each juncture, then we will present you with a contrasting case. Sounds a little bit abstract. Let's see it applied. The Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan Hamotze Meis Mutol L'Rachba Shel Derech. A person discovers a body lying underneath a path perpendicular to the path, so that the width of the path is covering a body lying across it, but underneath. L'truma tamei ubenozir v'ubaisa pesach tor. If upon discovery of this, I walked over the path, and I'm a person that needs to eat truma, I'm a kohen, and I want to eat truma, we'll say, no, you can't eat the truma. If you're a nozir or someone on your way to do a korban pesach, we'll say you remain unaffected. Now, here we have a triangle with the point facing up, so we're going in the direction of tuma. So it means, under what circumstances will we say that there's tuma for the oiseh, for the truma man, for the kohen that wants to eat truma? She'ein loy mokoim la'avor. The body is lying in such a way that the length of the body is covered by the width of the road. Avol yesh loy mokom lavor af litruma tohor. However, if there is room to pass, then even if his purpose was to eat truma, he remains tohor. So notice, we said, when is it that we say there is tumah for the truma purposes? And then we avol. Notice the contrast. However, if it's these circumstances that yesh mokum lavor, there's a way to walk over the path without walking over the body, so then he will be tohor, even for truma purposes. So up till this point, we're saying that if the body covers the entire width of the path, I say covers, but of course it means underneath the path, so for truma purposes, he is tomei, there was no way for him to go over the path without having been over the body, overshadowing the body. With regard to Nozir Nose Pesach, the oral tradition that we learned earlier kicks in, and here you have a case of Tumas Atahom. The body was not known to anybody to be over there at the time that the gentleman walked over it. So with regard to Nozir Nose Pesach, the law of Tumas Atahom says that they remain tohar. Even with regard to Truma, we pointed out that if there was a way to walk over that path without walking over the body, that's called Yesh Lo Derech Lavor, even for Truma, we would say he is okay. Now, let's continue. Bamed Vomamurim. Again, you notice that we have the triangle with the point facing up. So we're going, here we're stating in the direction of Tumah, Bamevurim Shemotse Sholem. When is it that we say that there is Tumah in the case of Ein Mokom La'avor? That's when the body was found whole. Avol Meshubar O Mefurok, Afilu Ein Mokom La'avor, Chayshinon Shema Bein Perokin Ovar. Now the word Chayshinon here, in my opinion, is a very tricky word. Chayshinon oftentimes is in the direction of stringency. We're choshesh for, we take into consideration some concern to be stringent. Here, it's quite the opposite. We said that if you have a situation of ein mokom lavor. In other words, the body spans the entire width of the path. There will be tuma for the truma person. That's where the body was found complete. However, if the body is found, let us say, for illustration purposes, we're going to keep it simple. It's broken into two parts. And if you look in the rush at the very bottom of the page, you have a star, second line from the bottom. Avomotso mishubur lechatichos umufuk devar mafilu ein lo mokum lavor. Even if there's no place to walk, meaning in reality, the body, the length of the body, really covers the entire width of the path. However, the two pieces of body are not next to each other. They're not in a continuum. And as the Rosh says, afilu ein mokum lavor kigon hachatzi hameis mutal betzad yamin ad chatzi aderech o rubo v'chatzi o acher muflog heimenu. Muflog means a little further down the road. Mitzad smolo ad chatzi aderech o rubo. If you look at, we have a little illustration, an aerial view where you see, I'll say chelik min hameis, an indication where the halfway mark is. And if you were to walk on a straight path, you will definitely be overshadowing body. That's what we mean, ein lo mokum lavor. There is no way to cross, to traverse the path without overshadowing the dead if you walk in a straight line. So the Rosh goes on to say, v'halech derech yishora lefonav ef sheshaliyali al chatzi o acher. If you're going to take a straight path, straight line over this, on this path, it's impossible to avoid overshadowing. Afilu achi tohor, even so we will declare tahara, shanutelim sha'ikem darko. We are going to, explain away the tumah by saying that he was ikem darko. He took a twist in the path. He did not walk a straight line, resulting in his, in effect, avoiding the tumah. So we go back to our Gemara. You notice that we have a brackets in the Gemara. The reason for the brackets are explained on the side. Tam ha sugrayim, we're going to have another qualification remark after the brackets. Masbir mashe kotoni lifnei asugrayim is coming to explain what we just said. So we'll skip the brackets initially. Let's go over what we just said. In fact, we can go back to the most recent triangle. Bamed v'murim shemotzo sholem. When is it that we said that in a case of ein mokom lavor, there is no room to cross the path without going over the body, that there will be tuma for the truma person? That's where the body was found complete. Avol mishubo mufurok, broken or in pieces. Afilu ein mokom lavor, even if there's no way to traverse the path, if you're taking a straight route without overshadowing, nevertheless, chayshin on shemo bein prokim ovar, we will take into consideration that maybe he took a twisted route in his walk and avoided the body, as our illustration hopefully demonstrates. Skipping the brackets, bamed vamamurim. Now note, here we have an inverted triangle indicating tahara. When is it that we said in the case of mefurok there would be tahara? That is bimalech baraglov. That's if the fellow is walking on his own two feet. He's walking on his own two feet. He walks kind of like in an upright position, and he might have taken a curve around the body parts that we illustrated before, but he's maintaining a fairly erect posture as he's walking along. That's mahalich baraglov, literally walking on his own feet. Avol. And now we hear this is a contrast, where we're going to go now in the direction of tumah. Avol to'uno rochuv tame. If the fellow walking is carrying a burden upon him, or he is riding on something, in other words, he's not walking on his own 2 feet. So there's going to be a lot of shaking from side to side, either because of the heaviness of the burden upon you, or because of the fact that you're not walking on your own power, but you're walking on the back of an animal. So there's this shifting back and forth motion. And as a result of that, so you're going to inevitably overshadow some part of the body, even though it's mefurak. Again, we have a bracketed section, because within the brackets there's simply an explanation that we just offered orally, and we skipped the brackets initially. And again, notice the triangle point up, meaning under what circumstances will we go in the direction of... let us just correct ourselves momentarily. The triangle that we see now is you see what the point facing down, indicating under what circumstances will we go in the direction of Tahara. That's Bamed Vamumurim Betumas Hatahom. That's when the whole issue was a concern of hidden Tuma. Avol Tuma Yadua. But when you're dealing with exposed tumah, shloshton tameim, meaning even the nozir and the oisa pesach, in addition to the oichel truma. We did a lot of skipping along the way, so we must go back over the text with the brackets. So we're going to go back to the first bracketed section, after having mentioned that there will be tuma in a case of ein mokum lavor, that's only when the body was found complete. But if the body was found meshubar mefurak, then even if ein mokum lavor, we're going to assume tahara. However, in the brackets ubekever afilu meshubar mefurak tome mipnei she kever mitzarfo, if what was found under the road wasn't just a body, but a grave, and in the grave you had the body severed, as we illustrated before, nevertheless, the fact that it's a grave, it attaches everything, so that there is no more any option of having taken the crooked route as being a saving effort. The grave is considered one continuous entity. So that if you were walking over a grave, even though you might not have been walking directly over a part of the body in the grave is considered, let's say in simplistic terms, as if the body is complete. The expression mitzarfa means it joins up the pieces to be like complete. We continue from that point in the Gemara, Bamed Vamurim, and when is it that in the case of Mefurak, we say there is Tahara? That's B'mahalech Baraglov. If the fellow was walking on his own locomotion, under his own power, Avotono Rochuv Tome, if he is carrying a burden, or he's riding on the back of an animal, and there's going to be swaying to and fro, he will be tomei, even though the body was mefurak. And now the explanation of that. Someone who's walking upright on his own 2 feet, it's quite possible that he won't come into contact, he won't cause any movement of corpse pieces, nor will he necessarily overshadow. If, however, he has a burden that he is carrying, or he's riding on an animal, it's impossible that he would avoid all of these possibilities, that he wouldn't touch or not cause movement or overshadow. In our explanation, we emphasize the overshadow possibility, because up till now we were viewing this as the body being buried under the road. Bamed v'mamurim. So when is it that we say that if there's no mokoim lavor, there will be tahara? betumas hatahom. That's when you're dealing with something totally unknown. It's hidden tumah. It's buried. The body was buried under the road. Avol tumah yadua shloshta tmeim. However, if it's tumah that is known, then all three, whether it's the nazir or the oisa pesach and the ois and the ochel truma, they're also all be declared to be tumei. Veizui tumas atahom. What is meant by tumas tom? Kol she'ein makira echad b'soif ha'olam. Tumah that's not known by anyone, in any part of the world. In other words, no one knows about the tumah. Makira echad b'soif ha'olam ein zu tumas atahom. If someone, even if he be located now in the far reaches of the planet, knows about the tumah, it's not considered tumas atahom. So the knowledge of the body being buried under the road is enough to declassify it from tumas atahom, and hence will need to apply the stringency of tumah. Hoya tomun beteven o betsroros are zu tumas atahom. If a body, let us say, was buried under straw or pebbles, that could be tumas atahom. In other words, if no one knows about the body over there, that's tumas atahom. However, b'yamim uv'afelu v'nikike asloim, if a body is found at sea or in the dark or in clefts in rocks, the body is not covered, ein zu tumas atahom. This is not considered tumas atahom. Since the body is not covered, it's something that could be discovered by people. The concept of tumas atahom as being the basis of tahara, as we've described till now, this has applicability only to the realm of defilement to the dead, corpse defilement. However, not with regard to other areas of tumah like zav and zava. We are not going to elaborate on that now, realizing, however, I'm sure everyone knows that there are many different forms of defilement, sources of defilement, and the concept of tumas atahom is being restricted to the realm of corpse or tumas mace. Ketzad yorad. Well, this is, of course, a quote from our Mishnah, and we're going to now make mention of the point in the Mishnah of Tzaf. We saw the tumah, the corpse flesh, floating. That was a point mentioned in the Mishnah. And here, we're not going to focus on tumas mace, but the thrust of the Gemara is a focus on tumas sheretz. On the side of the Gemara, tumah, under our no sour topic heading, we've written tumah safa betumas sheretz, floating tumah with regard to defilement to a sheretz. Sheretz is referenced to one of eight different creatures that the Torah lists as being a source of tumah if you touch it when it's dead. So our Gemara continues. Safa eino mitamo le'inyan sheretz. The issue of floating tumah, which was referred to in our Mishnah, does not apply to a case of sheretz. We'll elaborate on that a little more as we go on in the Gemara. Desanya, safek tumah tzofa. You have a doubt whether you had contact with the dead sheretz. That's the idea of suffix, down. Did you touch it? Touch what? Floating sheretz. Bein bekelim, bein bekarka. It's floating in water. The water is either in a vessel, or the water is accumulated in the ground, like in a pit, in a pool that's built or dug into the ground. Tahora, you are considered tahor. Once again, the whole issue is doubt. Did I come into contact with the sheretz or not? Well, the sheretz is floating. Does it matter where it's floating? According to the Tanai Kama, it doesn't matter where it's floating. You are Tohor. The Gemara at the top of Samach Dalid will give us sources for this. Reb Shimon Omer, Bekelim Temeo Bekarka Torah. When there's an issue of doubt, however, it's a sheretz that was floating in water in a vessel, we will declare Tuma. If it's doubt concerning a sheretz floating in water on the ground, then Tahora. We continue at the top of Daf Samach Dalet. My Taimo de Tanakama. The Gemara asks, what's the basis for the Tanakama, who indicated that when it's a doubt concerning floating sheretz, you will always be declared Tohor. Omer Yisrael Bar Vladimi Ksiv. There is a pasuk, and the Gemara is going to say one pasuk indicates one thing, and then another pasuk will be cited indicating to the contrary. We'll have to resolve the two pasukim. So on the one hand, it says Ksiv, it's Bechol Hasheretz Hasheretz. This is pasuk Mem Gimel in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph. And on the side of the Gemara, we've included the pasuk which says Al Tishaksus Nafshei Sechem Bechol Hasheretz Hasheretz Vositamu Boem Vinitmei Sembom. Pasuk is speaking about avoiding defilement to the sheretz. And it said in the pasuk Bechol Hasheretz Hasheretz. What does that indicate? Kol Mokoim Shehu Shoretz. Wherever the sheretz is found, which implies, even if it's in a floating situation, there will be tuma. Uksiv al haoretz. That's in pasuk mem dalet, and that would indicate that the sheretz poses a problem of tuma only on the ground, on the dry ground, literally. Haketzat. So how do you resolve these two? Vadai mago'o, if you had definite contact with the sheretz, tome. There will be tuma wherever it is, even floating. Safek mago'o, tohor. If there's a doubt whether you had contact with it or not, well, if it's floating, we will declare you tohor. For Rabbi Shimon Maitaimo, Rabbi Shimon, who said that even when there is doubt, we make a distinction between floating in a vessel versus floating in a pool. What's the basis for Rabbi Shimon? Omar Ula. Ksiv. Ach Mayon, and it goes on to say in Posuk Lamed Vav, it says, Yeh Tohor. And we have this quoted on the side, but Vayikra Perek Yudal Posuk Lamed Vav, Ach Mayon Ubor Mikvimayim Yeh Tohor, Venogea Benivlosom Yitmo. So this Posuk Lamed Vav makes reference to Tahara, Uksiv Yitmo, and it also makes reference to defilement. Ha Ketzad. How does Rabbi Shimon resolve this? Tzofa, if you're dealing with tuma that is floating, bekelim tome. If you have doubt, did you contact it, but it was found in a vessel, floating in water in a vessel, we say, sorry, we declare you, out of doubt, we declare you tome. Bekarka, the sheretz found floating in a pool, which is similar to the example of the pasuk spoke about a mayon, a bor. A mayon is a spring, a bor is a pit. These are in the ground. So if the sheretz was floating in water in the ground, then tohor. Only then we can declare tahara. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.